Jesus is our high priest. You ever let your mind wander? Oh, come on. Anybody ever let your mind wander? Why? Every one of us has wondered. We've all been millionaires at several times in our life or another. Or other things that we've always desired have become ours by letting our imagination wander. When we think about heaven, we must let our mind wander and by faith know that there is a God who sits upon the throne and a Jesus, the Bible says, that stands beside him making intercession for us. Have you ever let your mind wander and ask this question? I wonder what Jesus has been doing for the past 2,000 years. Has he been busy on the golf course? Has he been out on the racetracks? Has he been sitting in the stadiums watching the football and in the arenas watching basketball? Or does he just sit all day like some of us and watch television all day? Maybe he's not doing nothing. But if he is doing something, I believe that we ought to know what he's doing and if it pertains to us. Has he still got us on his mind? Are we of purpose with him today? Where is he at and what's he doing and how will it be beneficial to me? And those are good questions that we need to ask because many of us, many times, when we call upon God and God doesn't answer specifically and immediately, we kind of think that God's off on vacation somewhere. But the Bible says that God hasn't left us without thought. That God is not in some far off place forgetting us. But that God is ever present with us. Today I want to say to you that there's good news. Jesus is not on the golf course. He's not on the racetrack. He's not in the football stadium or the basketball arena, and he sure hasn't gone on vacation. Jesus is doing something today that's very important, very valuable, and it's important and valuable in my life and in the life of every child of God. For Christ is doing something. When we say, who is Christ? About three certain aspects kind of jump in our mind. First of all, we say he was a man of sorrow. He had to focus his life upon the cross that he must go hang on and there die. But then that was his purpose, wasn't it? And so we say he was a man of sorrow. Again, we say he was a sacrificial lamb. He was a paschal lamb. He was the lamb that died as a sacrifice in the place of every child of God. And then our mind goes to one who outside the city, who in a moment, in a flash, in the twinkle of an eye, the Bible said, was taken up. A man who had ascended to God. We see him that way. Or we see Jesus as an individual that was dead, and lo and behold, he was laid in a borrowed tomb of a man called Joseph of Arimathea. He was there in a borrowed tomb, and on the third day, lo and behold, some miraculous way, the stone was rolled away, and Jesus was gone. He had been resurrected, and we can shout about that, and we can praise God about that, because Christ is not dead, but behold, he is alive today, and the Bible says that he is alive forevermore. And so when we think about Jesus today, let us know this, that Jesus is just as involved today as he was over 1,900 years ago when he walked the earth, when he looked at that Calvary and knew that he had to go. He had to go to Calvary because if he had not went to Calvary, then you and I would still be in our sin and without hope because it is only through the shed blood of Jesus Christ that you and I can sit today and say, as Norman said about his boy, I'm confident, I'm sure beyond the shadow of a doubt that Marty is not off in some strange place. He's not overlaying in a cold casket in the earth, but praise God, the soul of this individual is in the very presence of God. And that's room for shouting grounds today, amen. When Jesus came, I don't know about Jesus. I don't know his thought with the Heavenly Father, but I know this. The first time that Jesus came to earth, he came because of the Father's love. And he came to do the will and the purpose of God. He came to enter into the lives of mankind, men and women, boys and girls, and to minister unto their lives. And we see him as he walked upon the face of the earth. We see him walking by the way and spitting upon the ground and putting dirt, mud, so to speak, in a man's eyes and saying to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam and thou wilt see again. And you know the story that as he went, the Bible said he came seeing. We see Jesus ministering to mankind as he walked through the gate called Beautiful. And he goes and sees a man by the pool who is unable to walk. And we see him asking this man a question and saying to him, do you really want to walk? Now, folks, isn't that dumb? Why would God ask a man that question? Oh, it sounded dumb, but it wasn't dumb. Because many times we say we want to be well, we want to go to heaven, we want to do this, we want to do that, but we're not willing to do the very thing that will take us there or get us to the place we desire to go. And here was a man that laid there for years. And Jesus went by and said to him, do you want to walk? Do you want to be made whole? And he said, Lord, I want to be made whole, but every time I start to roll over in the water, somebody stepped on me and jumped in the water before me. And Jesus simply said to him, look, you don't have to roll in the water. I want to say to you with all the power and authority that I have that if you really want to walk, then get up, take up your bed and walk. And we see the man, as he reaches down, he gets up, he takes up his cot, and the Bible said he walked. We see him healing the blind, causing the deaf to hear. We see him causing the dead to rise from the tombs and from the casket. We see him touching lives and telling them that through him they may have eternal life. We see him saying to a man with almost his last breath on Calvary's cross, today because that you have confessed me as Lord, I promise you today with all the power and authority that is invested in me by God, this very day you shall be with me in paradise. Amen. That's God and the power of God. He's doing something. He's working on behalf of mankind. And I'm glad today to say that he's still working on my behalf. And he's still working on your behalf. And he's still working on your behalf in the presence of God. But my goodness, what is he doing? A man of sorrow? He's not a man of sorrow. Because he has fulfilled the purpose that God has given him to do. He has ministered to mankind and stands before God, pleased as God said about his son, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Amen. He is not a sacrificial lamb. He has already died upon Calvary cross. He died once for all and will never die again. He is not the one of resurrection and ascension. He doesn't have to resurrect or ascend again. He's already standing at the right hand of God making intercession for us. He is, always will be, the King and the Lord of our life. And he will always be something else. He will always be victorious, not only in himself, but he will be victorious in us and through those who are willing to trust God and his power and his grace in their lives. In Matthew 28:18, we have these words, all power and authority is given in me in both heaven and in earth. These verses of scripture were said by Jesus after his resurrection and before his ascension. And he declares something to us. That he had all power, not only in heaven as the Son of God and resurrected Son of God, but that he has power in the earth. He said that one day the entire, that God will make it his footstool. What can God do through us? What can we do with God? And the Bible said, with God all things are possible. We can do all things through the power of Jesus Christ the Lord. In Hebrews 7:25, we have these words. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better state. Now we look at the word surety and we say, well, what does that word really mean? The word surety means a guarantee. Do you know what a guarantee is? I think to say most of you have some. When you go to buy a product, you say unto those who are selling the product, what is your guarantee or what is your warranty on the product? And if they say, well, you know how we don't really carry, you're just kind of buying this. You walk out the door, you go somewhere else. And when you go to a place that the man says, our guarantee lasts on this for 3 years, and our guarantee lasts on that as long as you have it, and then you ask the question, are you willing to stand behind that guarantee? And they say, we will stand behind that guarantee as written as long as this contract is in existence. And so we have a guarantee that when that product goes wrong, they will fix it, or they will replace it for a minimal charge or many times free. Now, God is saying about Jesus Christ, He is saying that you and I have a contract with God, that God will fulfill His purpose and His promise in our life. Every promise that God made to us in the Word of God will be fulfilled. And then He says, and with that contract, I'll give you a guarantee. I will guarantee this product through Jesus Christ. And the contract that I have with you will not last 30 days. It will not last 3 years. The contract that I have with you through Jesus Christ will last throughout eternity. Now, brother, that's a contract. And God said it's a surety. There's no doubt that God is ever going to fail in any way concerning the product that He gives us. The thing that Jesus said that He has all power to me is a statement of great victory. And I want to say to you today, and I don't want to keep referring to Norman, but I want to tell you He said something quiet that I hold on to. I eat, I devour, I love it, and I keep it within me. He said, I don't know what I would do without God. And I want to say to you today, and in behalf of myself, when trials and tribulations and sorrows come upon us, I too don't know what I would do without God. Do you? We've all sitting here possibly had our problems and our situations, my friend, that's been hard to face up to. There are things that hurt us and cause us great toil. But thank God for His power that says to us, I'm ever present, and one of those promises is, I will never leave you nor forsake you. My friend, I don't care if you're in this building or in the foxhole that seem like hell. I say to you that the promise of God through the contract of Jesus Christ is still there, it's still working, and He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And if He don't leave them boys in the muddy foxhole, I want to tell you what, they got the best captain in the world in the foxhole with them, Jesus Christ. Hebrews 8:6 speaks of Christ saying, but now hath He ordained a more excellent ministry. You see, Hebrews was written years after Jesus had died. And He said now He had obtained a more excellent ministry. Now, wait a minute, preacher. Let's think about this for a minute. Do you mean tell me that Jesus is doing something that was more important than causing the lame to walk, causing the blind to see, causing the deaf to hear, those hands that were withered to be made whole, and causing the dead to come alive? Is Jesus doing something more important than that? Well, I guess He is, because it says that He has a greater ministry now, speaking after He had left the earth, than He had when He walked the face of the earth. Now, what is His ministry? Is it for me? Praise God. If you've read your Bible, you know what it is. Last listen to these words. Four great big old words, but I'll try to help you out a little bit. First of all, the Bible says He is our mediator. He's our lawyer. He stands between us and God. And when God says, now God will talk like this. I'm paraphrasing, I believe. Now Jesus, I want you to look down there at that Howard White, that preacher of the Baptist Church. Do you think what he's doing just right? Do you think it's on the level? Do you think it's cool? Do you think about that? Let's go down there and talk this boy. He's not right. Jesus has to be here to stand before God, and He says something like this to God. God, I know Howard White isn't doing right. I know that everyone in this building said has failed me, has failed God. There's no one sitting here that hasn't failed in our Christian walk. But Jesus said, Father, I know that Howard's failed. He's just human being like I was when I was a flesh. And I remember crying out to you and saying, God, my flesh is weak, but my spirit's strong, it's ready. I remember crying out to you, God, and all those people on earth sitting in that building called the Kincaid Baptist Church, they're just like me, they're weak, and I know they fail, but God, I stand between you and they, and I confess my blood, that my blood covers a multitude of sin. Remember, dear God, that I died on Calvary, that Howard Wise, even though he sinned, that my blood, through my blood, he could be forgiven. And God says, yes, I remember. Not for my sake or for yours, but the Bible said, he saves us for Jesus' sake. Because of what Jesus did on Calvary. He's our mediator. He's our intercessor. He's our advocate. He's our high priest. And he's our guarantee. And they say the same thing, almost. He stands as the mouthpiece between two people. He stands between you as an individual and God. And he stands there, and when God looks at his son, he sees his shed blood that covers a multitude of sin. Your sin, and your sin, and your sin, and your sin, and your sin. And God sees that. And so then for Christ's sake, he says, I know they fail. But I know you paid the price, and I'll forgive them. You see, he's not on the golf course. He's not in those great arenas. Where's he at? The Bible says that he stands at the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for us. He stands by the throne of God, and every time you fail, he approaches God on your behalf. He becomes your lawyer. Every time you fail, he becomes your lawyer before God and pleads your case. And every time I fail, I don't know how he can put up with you because he's got a sense. Most of his time talking to God about me. But thank God I know that when I fail, if and when I fail, I can call upon God, and he said that he is faithful and just to forgive me my sin and cleanse me from lust. Look, get this word. If you never get nothing else today, get this word. It's L, capital A-L-L. To forgive us of all, everyone, nothing left. Wipe out the slate, clean up our life, blot out our sin, and cover our sin with the blood of Jesus Christ. No, when Jesus saves you, you never get up from your knees, you never leave the altar or your place of prayer with one sin, because he forgives us of all of our sins. That's exciting to know that he stands at the right hand of God making intercession, because you know what? It's good for us, and that's exciting because we got a man on the inside. And I want to tell you, when you got a man on the inside, it always works to our advantage. Because the man on the inside always relays to us what is going on. And I want to say to you, if we don't know what's going on and we haven't read about it, I want to say to you, you haven't read your Bible. You haven't heard what God has done and what God is doing and what God's going to do. Because, my friend, it is all recorded right here in the Word of God. Not only in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament, when Jesus Christ came and died in our place. Yes, in the presence of God. Isn't that something? Have you got it? Are you understanding it today? What are we understanding? Simply this. Listen to this. We can put our name. It says there, for us. For us. But we put our own name in there, and it says something like this. That he stands at the right hand of God, making intercession for Howard Wise. How about you? He isn't standing there just making intercession for his bride, the church as a whole. He's standing there making intercession for whoever you are as an individual. He stands there and he pleads your case. And not only that, because that he became our high priest and stands at the right hand of God, you and I are going to approach the throne of grace. You know, I want to say this and tell you love me. You don't need no priest. You don't need no missionary. You don't need no pastor called Howard Wise to approach God on your behalf. Well, yes, we can. We can pray prayers of intercession. But my friend, when Jesus died, the Bible said that the veil of the temple that separated us from God was ripped from the top to the bottom. The Bible used the word twain, that we were able through Christ to go of God out of hell. Amen. So Jesus is there making intercession for us at the right hand of God. And when he sees Jesus, he sees his shed blood. Hebrews 10:11 tells us that the priest stood daily ministering. What is Jesus doing? He hadn't got time to sleep. The Bible said that he never slumbered and he never sleeps. And he doesn't slumber and he doesn't sleep because I want to say something and pray you love me. You're a full-time job, mister. You're a full-time job, missus. Howard, you're a full-time job. Jesus hasn't got time to sleep. The priest ministered daily 24 hours a day unto God, and that is the way that Jesus ministers unto us, standing in our place, talking on our behalf, and then leading us through the Holy Spirit of God in the path of all righteousness, he says to us. Not only is Jesus our high priest, but he made it possible for us to become a holy priesthood. I want to tell you what that word holy priesthood means. It means that every child of God becomes a priest. We fall into the priesthood of God. You see, you thought it was only my place to witness to the Lord. You thought it was only my place to take the gospel. You thought it was only my place to stand between you and God. But the Bible says that Israel and the children of God became a holy, priestly nation. A nation of priests, he said. And so that simply says this to me. Instead of having to come to the preacher to pray for you, instead of going to the priest to pray for you, instead of going to the missionary to pray for you, you can, anywhere you are, fall on your knees, stand up, bow your head, look up to God, raise your hand, put your hand down, and call upon God in behalf of yourself. And how wonderful that is, because I've been in some places and some situations, and I don't know why God would even be there, but he was, because I talked with him. That's God. He gives us the right chance. 1 Peter 2:5, you'll find that. Thank God as a high priest, Jesus is ministering in behalf of us every day of his life. He loves us so much, so listen to this now. He loves us so much that while you and I are at the beaches, we're out at the golf courses. We're watching the television when we ought to be in the house of God. We're down at the baseball games when we should be at the altar praying to God. We're at the football game because there's excitement instead of coming to the house of God and get excited. While we're doing all those things, Jesus is still so concerned about us that he stands before God and pleads our case. Amen. I don't know what he says. And I don't care to. And his efforts, his death on the cross, nothing you've done. Nothing I've done. Oh, I'm righteous, yeah. And he comes back and makes me look bad because he says my righteousness in the sight of God is as filthy rags. In fact, they ain't no good. It's his righteousness. And through his righteousness and through his death, he makes it possible that you and I are able to come to the very throne of all of God's grace. He is able, my friend, when we fail to look it up and not say what Howard says. You know, some folks say you're stupid. You're dumb. You're ignorant. And they degrade us. But when Jesus sees us fail, he doesn't come to us and talk like humans. He doesn't say, you're stupid. You're ignorant. You shouldn't have done that. But the Bible said that he reaches down in that dark pit with his own hand. And he takes a hold of our hand. And we grab a hold of the hand of God. And the Bible said he raises us up. And he sets our feet upon solid ground. Amen. No, he isn't here to degrade us. He's here to show us that he loves us. At the right hand of God, he's not sleeping. For the last nigh on to 2,000 years, he's been talking about you. And he's been talking about you. And he's been talking about me to God. And telling God, God, they're all right. They're my children. I bought them with a price. And one day, they're coming home to be with us. Amen. But he don't understand. He knows what we're going through. He's a modern Christ. He's up to date on all things. He knows what's happening to us. And the Bible says that he is one that is touched with our infirmities. He is touched with our sorrows. He's touched with our sickness. He's one that cares about us when no one else. And a lot of us here say, nobody cares about me. I was told about a lady, and I stopped to talk with her. And this was the lady's word. She said, if I just knew that anybody, just anyone, cared about me, told her I care. She walked off fast. No, not because she didn't want to hear it. She walked off fast because it touched her so much. I ask your prayer that we will be able to talk with her again. Just want to know if someone cares. Well, my friend, when you think that no one in the entire world or universe cares, I want to tell you, Jesus cares. His heart, the songwriter said, is touched with our grief. And not only that, he's an ever-present, he's a now Christ. You don't have to wait for him to come from a journey. My friend, he comes and dwells. The Bible says that our body is the dwelling place of God. He lives within us in the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. Let me go on and close here. Hebrews 4:16. Jesus is working on our behalf. Sometimes we don't know how to approach him. Sometimes we approach him too. Sometimes we approach him by saying something like, well, now you're God. You told me to approach the throne of grace, and I'm going to do that, so now you've got to take care of it. We approach him like he's just somebody else and not a real friend. When you approach that, approach him sincerely. If you have a need, you can help. If you have a problem, he can help you through. If you have a sin, he can deliver you out of it. He can pick you up and set your feet on solid ground. But listen what he says to us as his children, Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find peace to help in time of need. You know what he's saying? Let me say it like this. In time of need for the child of God, you don't have to crawl to God. You don't have to crawl to God pagan-ly. The writer said, approach the throne of God boldly, not braggingly, but boldly, knowing this, that Christ died for us. He gave us the right to talk to God, and it's our privilege, and we have a purpose, and we have a right to talk to God. I wouldn't mind that, the preacher talking for me. Would you? I wouldn't like it if I couldn't talk to God and just someone out here talk to God for me. Oh, I thank God when you pray for me. I want you to pray me day and night because I need it that much. But I thank God that I'm able to bow my head personally and talk to the God who made the entire universe. And you know what? He's a great God. But he's lowly enough to hear me when I talk to him. And I'm able to do that through Christ, who the Bible says makes intercession for me. I don't have to call to God or sneak to God or be ashamed to approach to God. I can come to God just as a son comes to his father. And that's what we want our sons and our daughters to do. Come to us for help. And I can go as a son of God or to God for help. That's simple. Let me go. What a question. I'm glad that he's my high priest. I don't have enough schooling to be a lawyer here on earth, not alone stand before an almighty God. But when I have a case that I need to talk about, I have a problem. I can talk to God about it. My high priest stands right next to him as my lawyer. And he says, Father, I'll take Colin's case. Oh, I'm glad. But I want to ask you, is he your high priest? Huh? Would you want him to be your high priest? Yes? If you want him to be your high priest, there's only one thing you must do. You must make him your Savior. You must ask him to save you from your sin. And the moment he saves you, he automatically becomes your high priest, who stands before God with your request. If he's not your high priest today, you're in a world of trouble. Because you have no one to plead your case. And if you have no one to plead your case, you're not covered by the blood. And if you're not covered by the bloodshed on Calvary's cross, you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior.
I'm going to beg you today in the name of Christ that if you don't know Christ,
that today you'll say to Him, God, I'm lost. I know I'm undone. I don't even know what to do. I just know that I'm a sinner. I've never asked you to save me. Today I need you to come into my heart. If thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thine heart that God is raising from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10, 9 and 10. So simple. We just need to come to God and ask God to save us. Maybe you're here today and you've been saved. You know Christ. But you've never, ever been obedient to Him. So many people say, oh, I've been saved 40 years. No, I've never been baptized. You know what? You haven't carried out the first commandment of God. The first commandment. Not alone anymore. If you die with Him, you need to be buried with Him. We explained that to a young girl sitting right here a week ago. When you die, they bury you. That's what baptism is. We are buried with Him in baptism. Amen. Maybe God's dealing with your heart just for prayer today. I'm not a member of this church. Oh, is that right? Well, that's not too good to pray with you. If you need to pray about anything, just come and pray. We'll come and pray with you. No problem. If God deals with your heart, just let God have His way in your heart. Now, those who play the instruments of music, and Brother Clarence come with just a verse of invitation song, giving you and I the opportunity that if we need to know Christ, we have that opportunity. If we need to make a decision, we can do that today. If we need to just come and pray, the altar's free to us. I'd be afraid to come up there. You won't be afraid to go to heaven, will you? And don't be afraid to come to pray. You say, well, I don't think that anybody can handle my problems. Maybe none of us can, but God can. If you'll just trust in God, as we stand and sing, would you come if God deals with your heart? We're not going to share this. 187.